Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder and executive director of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
All right, if you would please open your Bibles to the book of Job. It comes prior to the book of Psalms, and we're going to not try and do an exhaustive study of this book, but we are going to learn a few lessons from the book of Job, and we're going to start this morning in chapter 1. So this is God's word found in Job chapter 1. In the land of Uz, there lived a man whose name was Job. This man was blameless and upright. He feared God and shunned evil. He had 7 sons and 3 daughters. And he owned 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 500 yoke of oxen, and 500 donkeys, and had a large number of servants. He was the greatest man among all the people of the East. His sons used to take turns holding feasts in their homes, and they would invite their 3 sisters to eat and drink with them. When a period of feasting had run its course, Job would send and have them purified. Early in the morning, he would sacrifice a burnt offering for each of them, thinking, "Perhaps my children have sinned and cursed God in their hearts." This was Job's regular custom. One day, the angels came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan also came with them. The Lord said to Satan, "Where have you come from?" Satan answered the Lord, "From roaming through the earth and going back and forth in it." Then the Lord said to Satan, "Have you considered my servant Job? There is no one on earth like him. He is blameless and upright, a man who fears God and shuns evil." "Does Job fear God for nothing?" Satan replied. "Have you not put a hedge around him and his household and everything he has? You have blessed the work of his hands, so that his flocks and herds are spread throughout the land. But stretch out your hand and strike everything he has, and he will surely curse you to your face." The Lord said to Satan, "Very well then. Everything he has is in your hands, but on the man himself do not lay a finger." Then Satan went out from the presence of the Lord. One day when Job's sons and daughters were feasting and drinking wine at the oldest brother's house, a messenger came to Job and said, "The oxen were plowing and the donkeys were grazing nearby, and the Sabaeans attacked and carried them off. They put the servants to the sword, and I am the only one who has escaped to tell you." While he was still speaking, another messenger came and said, "The fire of God fell from the sky and burned up the sheep and the servants, and I am the only one who has escaped to tell you." While he was still speaking, another messenger came and said, "The Chaldeans formed 3 raiding parties and swept down on your camels and carried them off. They put the servants to the sword, and I am the only one who has escaped to tell you." While he was still speaking, yet another messenger came and said, "Your sons and daughters were feasting and drinking wine at the oldest brother's house, when suddenly a mighty wind swept in from the desert and struck the 4 corners of the house. It collapsed on them, and they are dead. And I am the only one who has escaped to tell you." At this, Job got up and tore his robe, and shaved his head. Then he fell to the ground in worship and said, "Naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked I will depart. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. May the name of the Lord be praised. In all this, Job did not sin by charging God with wrongdoing. May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word. This is one of the most famous men in the world, I mean all around the world, because wherever the scriptures have gone, this story has gone. This is one of the oldest stories in the Bible. It's not one of the first things to happen in human history. But as the Bible was being written, inspired by the Holy Spirit and written down by various authors, one of the oldest stories is believed to be this one. Because this happened early in history. But it is very instructive. Now, we know the Sabaeans were around and the Chaldeans were around, so it obviously isn't as old as Abraham and Moses and so forth. But it's old. And all around the world, when people hear this story, it has a profound impact on them if they take it seriously. Because pain and suffering are part of life on this planet. Ever since the fall of man, ever since our first parents, Adam and Eve, rebelled against God, the consequences have been painful. The result of what they did has impacted all of us. You and I all have experienced things in our life that we didn't plan, we didn't cultivate, we didn't try to make it happen, it just happened. Why is that? Because of sin. Well, you mean it's because of something I did? That's one of the main things this book is about. The book of Job talks about people trying to understand why bad things happen. Now look again at what Job's life was like. He was blameless and upright. That's the first thing it tells us besides his name. No, it also says he lived in the land of Uz. So he lives in the land of Uz. His name is Job. He's blameless and upright. He feared God and shunned evil. That is to say, he didn't want anything to do with it. Do you know how some people kind of want to, I mean, they don't want to totally dive into sin, but they'd like to get close. You know? They want to just look cool. Job was a man who shunned evil. He didn't want anything to do with it. He hated it. He sought to avoid it. He avoided the appearance of evil. It is possible to do something that is not sinful, but it really looks bad. You know, I mean, nobody else is going to believe that you didn't do what it looks like you did. Job shunned evil. Not only that, he had a big family. What a blessing. 7 sons and 3 daughters. Isn't that great? He owned 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 500 yoke of oxen, and 500 donkeys, and had a large number of servants. He was rich. The reason all that's listed is so that you know this guy has prospered in everything. He's got a big family, and he can support them all. He's set them up in business because he's a rich man. Now, if you looked at his life, you'd say, golly, I'd like to be Job. You might not want to shun evil. You might not want to live a blameless life, but you'd sure like the family and the fortune. Because looking at him, he seems to be the pinnacle of success. And he's a righteous man. Doesn't mean he never sinned. It means that he hated sin and sought to avoid it. Shunning evil, he was blameless. Again, doesn't mean he never sinned. It means he was blameless. There's a difference. Knowing that he needed grace, he would offer sacrifices. Sacrifices couldn't take away the sins. but they were a reminder, God, I know I've done wrong and I need your grace. And all those sacrifices were pointing to Jesus, who would one day be the sacrifice who takes away our sin by his death on the cross for us. So, you look at Job and you say, that's the kind of life I want. Right? If you saw a rich guy in good health with a happy family, wouldn't that appeal to you? Have you ever done that? Have you ever looked at somebody and thought, man, I want to be like that when I grow up? Oh, I hope someday maybe I can live that way. That's what people thought about Job. He had friends. We'll meet them later in the book. But God saw Job. And God was pleased with Job. That's good to know, isn't it? He's not only blameless, but God was pleased with him. And that is the most important thing. Not what everybody else thinks, but what does God think? Now, there's other stuff going on besides what we can see on this earth. Job had all these animals. He had the big family. He's living a righteous life. But in the midst of it all, there's stuff we can't see going on. Did you know there is stuff we can't see going on right now? We're not the only people on the earth. And here in this room, there are things that we can't see. Not just spiritual things, there are biochemical things going on. There's all kinds of stuff that we don't see that's happening at every moment. Your body is fighting infection right now because there's always around us stuff that doesn't belong. And your body has systems designed by God that are magnificent, and they're designed to keep you healthy. And they're at work all the time when you can't see it. You don't even realize it. But let me tell you, if they ever stop working, you'll know. You'll know. But beyond this physical universe where tons of things are happening that we don't think about or even realize, beyond that, there's a spiritual universe that is happening all the time. Always. The Bible talks about angels that are here right now as servants of the Lord on our behalf. And there have been times when angels have clearly intervened in my life and in the lives of people that I know and love and have been amazed at the way God has come to the aid of those folks with very clear manifestations of an angelic presence. Let me tell you something. When my son was in a horrible car accident, the car flipped several times and caught fire, and he's a paraplegic, and he's sitting there, stunned. Two guys came to the door, got him out, put his wheelchair together without anybody having to tell him how. They just knew how. They put that wheelchair together, and lo and behold, after he was safely out of the vehicle in his wheelchair, and they'd put his glasses back on him, they were gone. They were gone. They saved his life. The car was incinerated. We've got pictures. But you know what? Nobody will ever convince me those weren't angels. Okay? My son said, but Dad, they had flannel shirts on. Well, that's what angels wear sometimes in East Tennessee. But I'll tell you something. There are angels. There's also an adversary. And you and I need to know that. Even when we're not aware of what's going on, we have an adversary. We have an enemy. We have a force that is intelligent and has a bunch of lieutenants, and he's well organized, and he's been doing his work for a long, long time. He's still at work today, and he was at work in Bible times. And he is called various things in the Bible, including the accuser of the brethren. But he's also called the tempter. Now, the devil doesn't have to tempt me for me to be tempted. I've got a sin nature that is very capable of leading me in the wrong direction. The demonic forces know exactly what my sin patterns are and how to, shall we say, encourage those. And while the devil cannot read your mind, demons can definitely suggest thoughts to you. And when they do, they're not going to sound like,
"This is Lucifer, and I am out to destroy you. Here are five things that I would like for you to do to really mess up your life."
I mean, who'd go for that? He's going to say, "Okay, sounds great. Mess up my life? Sure." That's not what he sounds like. You know who he usually sounds like when he tempts me? Me. He sounds like me. Because the hardest person for me to say no to is me. I don't think the devil even knows my name. But the demons, there are demons who work for him, and they're aware of my presence, all right? The demons sound like me. And instead of saying, "You can really mess yourself up by doing this," they say, "That looks good." And you know what I think? I think, "That looks good." And they say, "It won't hurt anything." And I think, "It won't hurt anything." And they say, "You deserve it." I think, I do. I have to agree with you, whoever you are. You know what? There's stuff going on that you and I don't see. And what was going on one day in heaven was that as the angels came and presented themselves before the Lord, Satan came too. He showed up. He came into God's presence. This is an arrogant thing to do for somebody who's God's enemy. Comes into God's presence, and God said to him, "Where have you been? Where did you come from?" Now, was this because God didn't know, or because God famously asks questions? I'll give you a hint. Okay? It's not because God doesn't know. God knows everything. God knows everything. What do we say at the start? You don't know what's going on. But God does. God does. And so he said, "Where'd you come from?" And the devil says, "I've been going all over the earth." And God said, "See my servant Job?" "Yeah, I saw him." See, Job was a real bummer for Satan. Okay? Satan was aware of him because Job was such a righteous man. He's living a blameless life. That means the devil is not being successful in pulling Job down. And he's tried to attack in various ways, but God had set a hedge of protection about him. The reason, I mean, Job may have thought, "Man, we've got some really good soil here." But no, God was blessing his crops. "Man, these animals are a very healthy breed." It's not just that. God was protecting his flocks and his herds. He was prospering because God was prospering him. And God was protecting him from the enemy. One of the things God promises in the book of Malachi is that when we honor God financially, he will rebuke the devourer. Now, if you don't honor him with your finances, then the devourer will be allowed to do what? Devour. So you can offer it to God, or you can let the enemy take it away. Either way, you're not going to have it. But of course, if you give to the Lord, God promises that there is a tremendous return, not just in this life, but in eternity. So, God says, "Have you considered my servant Job?" Satan answered, "Job doesn't do that for nothing." Does Job do that for nothing? No. You've put a hedge of protection around him. You've blessed him. If you were to take that away and let me go after him, he would curse you to your face. Job would turn against you if you just let me. Come on, just. Now see, if I were writing the script here, I would have God say, "There is no way I'm going to let you attack my servant Job. He is a blameless man. He's living a righteous life. He's doing what I want him to do." God said, "Okay." I'm thinking, "What? How is that fair?" You know what's fair? The wages of sin is death. Yeah, but he was blameless. Yeah, but that doesn't mean sinless. That's why he kept offering sacrifices. Job also had sinned, like all of us. How do I know that? Because Romans 3:23 tells me what? For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, every single one of us. I don't have to know your deep, dark secrets to know that you've messed up. You don't have to hear all of my mess ups to know that I've messed up. We've all sinned. The only person who ever lived a sinless life is Jesus, and that's why he was able to offer his life as the perfect sacrifice for our sins. So, the Lord said, very well then, everything he has is in your hands, but on the man himself do not lay a finger. So Job is personally protected, but it sure isn't going to feel like it when everything starts falling apart. Everything he has gets taken from him. Now, if you're looking at that, what are you going to think about Job? That's one of the main things this book is about. The danger of thinking that we know what's going on. Because, see, I would look at that and I'd say, well, oh boy, Job must have done something. I mean, there's no way all that stuff would happen to him. I mean, boom, 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 boom. Clearly, that's the hand of God. And when I say that, I'm forgetting about the enemy. And when I say that, I'm forgetting the first thing I wanted you to write down this morning, and that is, you don't know what's going on. You know what I have to remember when I'm trying to look out there and make sense of what's happening? I don't really know what's going on. Got it? But there's a temptation to think, well, it's obvious. If this happens and this happens and this happens and this happens, clearly that is God's judgment on his enemy. And if I think that, I'm like most people. But I'm wrong. I'm wrong to think that I know what's going on. So if like something like that happens, like happened to Job, all this stuff, this bad stuff, what should we think about that? How about, I don't know what's going on. I don't. Unless God reveals it, I don't know what's going on. And most of the time, God is content not to reveal it, even with Job. Job didn't have the book of Job. He had never read this book. It had never been written, except in the mind of God. So what did Job do? Job got up, tore his robes, shaved his head, and then fell to the ground in worship. You know the right thing to do when disaster strikes? Worship God. You know the right thing to do when prosperity strikes? Worship God. You know what you and I need to do all the time in every situation? Worship God. Give him praise and thanks because he is worthy and he does not change. And we may not know what's going on, but God does. And God not only knows, he's in control. I'll tell you one more thing. We're going to get more of this later in the week, but I'll tell you this. There have been a bunch of times in my life when it looked like disaster struck and it turned out God was working for my good. And that's not because I'm special. It's because that's the way God works. You may feel like, oh, not only is this a bad thing, but that's a bad person that did that. And you may be right on both counts. It's a bad thing, and that's a bad person. But it doesn't mean that God has changed. He's still good all the time. And he is at work in every situation for the good of those who love him, who are the called according to his purpose. It has sometimes taken me years to begin to get a glimpse of what God was up to. And there are some things I will not understand probably until I go to heaven. But there have been many where I've seen what looked like disaster and then learned, oh, God was redirecting. God was opening the door for something else to happen. It would never have happened if this hadn't happened. God knows what he's doing, even when we don't know what's going on.
Thank you for listening to Abiding in Christ with Pastor Jim Wood. Did you know that along with being an excellent Bible teacher, Pastor Wood has authored over a dozen books? We'd like to encourage you to visit pastorwood.org for resources and books authored by Pastor Wood and his wife, Susan. You can also listen to or download teachings by Pastor Wood 24/7. please visit pastorwood.org today. That's pastorwood.org.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE, or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.